Good evening, Rabbosai. We're up to Simon Tofresh Yud Gimel, and we're up to Sif Yud, color. Talking about a color, a bride. Kol Shloishim Yoim Muteres Lirchoitz Poner. We're still talking about the halachas with regards to not washing oneself, and on page 154 towards the bottom. So a color, a bride, although there's an Isra Chitza on Yom HaKippurim, you're not allowed to wash yourself in Yom HaKippur. However, a color, a bride is allowed to for 30 days after the chasen, after a wedding, she's allowed to wash herself. Poneo, her face. The reason is, Mishneh Berurah in Sefkot Chovav explains, Kol Shloshim Achan Yisuer after her wedding. And Mishneh Berurah says that the reason is, Kedei Shalot Yisgane Al Baalo, that you should look presentable and beautiful to her, for her husband, for a new husband. And therefore, she's allowed to wash her face. Kosav Achai Adam. The Chayodim writes a very interesting addition. Nira, this seems, Shezeh Hoyo Bizmanehem, this was only in earlier generations. Shelo Yehoyu Beveis HaKnesses Kol Hayom. They did not spend the entire day in shul. Aval Bizman HaZeh, but nowadays, She'enu Roye Oysa Kol Hayom, he won't see his color the entire day. Because he's in shul, and presumably she's in shul too. Lo shemati, I've not heard shenayin b'zeheta. I've not heard that people are mati. So the Mishneh Berurah quotes the Chai Adam that nowadays this heta will not apply. There is cholkim. Some people are cholkim and disagree with the Chai Adam. They say that ultimately he'll see her when she wakes up, and so there is reason to be mati. But the Chai Adam, Mishneh Berurah is machmir, and he says that nowadays that we spend the entire day in shul, and she'll presumably spend the day in shul. The heter won't apply. And therefore, it's only true in previous generations. Which is interesting, that obviously teaches us in previous generations, they didn't spend the entire day in shul. Pardon? Right, what happens then? So that's really true, because I saw some posts came on and said, well, if so, then you're saying this shul you can, this shul you can't. If you come home early, if you come home late, you're going to start. If 2 o'clock you can, 2 or 3 o'clock you can't. So it sounds like a bit vague. But the Mishneh Berurah is so similar. Hachmir, Mishneh Berurah says one should take a color shouldn't. By the way, there's an interesting. I think it's been introduced by Reb Chatzke Levenstein, the Mashkiach, the Mirim Mashkiach, and later Ponovich Mashkiach Reb Chatzke Levenstein. I think it comes from him apparently. The minig not to make chasnas in Elul. Have you heard of that? I think the Litvish Yeshivas. In Litvish Yeshivas, they say that I don't think you can call it a minig. It's more an accepted practice. That in some yeshivas, people don't get married in Elul. Have you ever heard of that? In some, because it's the time of judgment, it's Elul, you can't get busy with that. Have you heard of such a thing? So in some yeshivas, the minig is not too in Ponevish, and there's not many chasnas during Elul, Litvish yeshivas. But somebody once asked Reb Chatzke Levenstein, who was the one who introduced this, that there is a Shulchan Aruch seems to be evidence that there is no basis for this practice. Because Shulchan Aruch said that there's a kala on Yom Kippur, and within 30 days after a chasana. So if she got married, if she's a kala on Yom Kippur, 30 days after the chasana, must be she got married during Elul. So this Shulchan Aruch seems to be evidence against against Reb Chatzke Levenstein's. I don't know what he answered, but I know he was asked. I don't know what he answered. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, by the way, we find in various areas of halacha, we find this halacha that shalot is gana al balo. A woman has an obligation to make sure that she looks presentable to her husband. This obviously is something which is only for 30 days. We'll be mati erechitza on Yom Kippur for 30 days, but generally speaking, there's an obligation that is gana al balo. Okay, Sif Yud Aleph. Mishra Keri Bizman Hazeh, Yom HaKippurim. Somebody who had Cholila Keri in the night, on the night of Yom Kippur. Now, Im Lachu, if it's still wet in the morning when he wakes up, Mekanach B'mapo V'dayo, just wipes it off. Vim Yovei Shu, if it's dried, or she nislach lech, or he got even a bit dirty, Yroichetz B'mkoyim is amluchlochim, is allowed to wet to make it a bit wet and wash it off. The places which are dirty, mekoyim is amluchlochim b'olevat, mispal is allowed to wash that off, and he's allowed to daven. V'also lichotz gufoi, but he's certainly not allowed to wash his entire body, or lit boil, or go to mikveh, although he's a Baal Keri, he's not allowed to go to mikveh. Afol pishu b'shaim is hashana, although in the rest of the days of the year, rog elit boel tefillah, he will toivel himself for the tefillah purpose if he's a Baal Keri. But over here on Yom Kippur, it's not permitted because it's considered rechitza. It's still considered rechitza, and therefore it won't be allowed. Correct. The answer is good question. And the answer that why is that considered hana? Well, normally we find that only chitz of tanug is also. So why is that also over here to do a tefillah? Is that what you're asking? The answer is that we are concerned that he's still going to have some hanok, some tanug. It's going to be both. We are concerned that if he goes into the mikveh, he's going to have some. It's not going to be a pure intention of non tanug, of just of tara, and he might have intention of tanug as well, and then he'll be over on issa de iraisa. Proper rechitz kol aguf is issa de iraisa if it's shel tanug. We're concerned that he's one step away. Yeah. Sif Yud Beis. Bizman hazeh also le'isha leitboil bim ha-kippurim. Nowadays, Isha is not allowed to tovel itself in Yom Kippur. Afilu gi hazman tefilah, even if it's the zman of a tefilah, boi b'yom on that very day. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, if katnov lamed alef, the reason is, afilu shloi l'shem tashmish, this is a belav achi also, even if there's no, she obviously can't do tashmish, one of the inuim, elok edeshi tehoira gamken also, just for the purpose of being tehoira, that itself is also not permitted, and Isha is not allowed to go to tefilah on Yom Kippur. And then he says an interesting point, which is good, which is an addition over here. Veisha shalavez levonim yom kippurim, if she can put whites on Yom Kippur, muteres lichot me'at b'nei choseh, she'll have to wash that, prepare herself for hefsek tara. Okay. Siv simon tov reish yudalet. So we've discussed isra chitz pada. Because in the previous generation, where tumen tara was more, exactly, yeah. Now it's tumatara only applies lebalo. So we've discussed Issa, the inuim. We've discussed the inuim of eating and drinking. Thank you very much. And we've discussed the inuim, the Issa of washing. And now we're going to learn Simon Tofres Yudalet, Seif Aleph, which is Sicha, smearing oneself with oil, which is an additional inui, and from Seif Beis is the halachas of the Issa of Ne'ilas as sandal wearing shoes, leather shoes. So Seif Aleph, which is the shortest of all of them, says the following. Also losuch afilo miktsas gufoi. So smearing is one of the inuyim on Yom Kippur, to smear oneself with oil. It's not so common nowadays, but in previous generations where water was more rare, and people weren't so affluent and there wasn't access to water as nowadays, people would very commonly smear themselves with oil, and they would do that for cleaning purpose. So that you're not allowed to do. So even miktsas guf, even if it's just a part of your body, if you want to smear yourself with oil to clean yourself, even miktsas guf in a part of your body, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. And then, v'afilu einu elanavi azumah. Now this is a huge chumrah. I mean, it's not a chumrah, it's just a huge difference over here, because it says, afilu einu elanavi azumah, even if it's just to remove your zuam or your dirt. Now what is the huge chiddush about this? Exactly. As opposed to Issa Rechitza, we learned that if you are dirty, you're allowed to wash yourself to remove the dirt. If it's purely to remove the dirt, you're not having any positive enjoyment in it, you're just trying to remove the dirt, that you're allowed to do with regards to Issa Rechitza, with the Issa of washing yourself. Not so with regards to Issa Sicha. Smearing, it, even if you're doing that to remove the dirt, it's still also, so it's an unlike rechitza. It's more severe. Afilu einu lavi razuma. Only if it's, even if it's only just remove the dirt, it's also. And Mishnah Berurah points this out in Sif Kotten Aleph. Right, Salema. The afshu shaloi l'shem tanug. Even if it's not l'shem tanug, it's also. So one needs to be very, very careful with regards to it's a sicha. Sicha is more severe, and sicha you even shaloi l'shem tanug is going to be also. But it does say, but if it's a choile, even if it's a choile, there's no sakon involved, no life-threatening illness, but it is ultimately a choile. He's got sores on his head, more than it's permitted. I mean, if you're doing it for medical purpose, then sikh will be permitted, which is actually interesting, because sikh, you always need to be careful, like any other regular Shabbos, you need to be careful, you don't like to actually do that. The actual smearing is also on... Yes, there is. Sometimes you're allowed to, but on the whole, there is self-smearing. So whatever the hetay may apply. If it's litzorich refuah, you'd be. If it's choile and you've got sores, you're chatotin, you've got sores on your head, you've got something else, you need to put some oil on, some ointment on it. That will be okay on Yom Kippur too. There is a shaila, which is obviously quite the contemporary shaila. Is what about deodorant sprays on Yom Kippur? Is that included in the Issa Sicha? Why is that closer to Isra Chitza?
Because you're going to find more water in a deodorant can than you're
going to
find oil in a deodorant.
Mm-hmm. There's more water in there than it's...
How do you know it's not?
Sorry? It's not the vents. You get ones which are alcohol-based, but then the alcohol isn't going to be pure alcohol. It's going to be alcohol in an aqueous solution.
I think the question is based on the fact that it could be that even if there is a majority is water, I think the question is based on the fact that it's definitely not a ma'aser rechitza. You can't compare that to an act of washing yourself. It's not washing yourself. It's nowhere near washing yourself. It may be compared, according to some point, that's the question. The question is based on the fact that it may be compared to something which is sikha, which is something which you do. It's true that the act, it's not exactly an action of sikha, but it's much more similar to sikha. You are putting something on your body to make you to enhance your body a little bit. So it's not rechitza, it's probably closer to sikha. What do you think?
There's no smearing going on.
No smearing going on. Okay, spray is no smearing. So you're saying that it's not. What do you think?
So it's allowed,
actually. No, it's permitted. So
scent is okay.
Without scent should be okay. Without
scent is okay.
Would be also? Al sikha. You're saying saves you from inui. Okay, very good. Okay, that's actually an interesting topic. You know, I'm going to address that in a minute, Mitzvah Hashem, but Reb Shlomo Zalman is being quoted, and that's the thing with Reb Shlomo Zalman being quoted. He's been quoted by two Talmidim that apparently Reb Shlomo Zalman has said that it's actually included in Issa Sicha. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman is being quoted of saying. Many people have tried to break their heads to understand why is that exactly comparable. What is exactly the comparison to Issa Sicha? And many people are cholik and they say there's no comparison at all because Sicha, whether it's because of the actual product, what it is, it's not really comparable, and what you're doing, and the purpose of it, and the whole idea seems to be very different and not really comparable to Issa Sicha. So many people say that it's hard to compare it. And therefore, I think that many the consensus of most poskim is that there is not included in Issa Sicha. And whether there is a scent or there is no scent, I think the majority of poskim are going to be matir. But it's good to know that Shlomo Zalman as a chumrah is quoted of having said that he may be included in Issa Sicha. We're going to see other raya's as well that it sounds like. I heard another raya that it sounds like it's very hard to understand why it should be included in Issa Sicha. But Shlomo Zalman is apparently being quoted. Now, what you are saying over here, let me just speak about that. I wasn't quite sure exactly where to speak about this ma'ashag. But I think that's a very good point. I'd like to thank Paul for providing this Mahashag. The Mahashag is actually addressing something which is going to be nagia to the Issa of wearing shoes as well as this place. The Mahashag is one of the early Hungarian poskim between the wars. He had a shaila. Somebody asked him, he's got really, really comfortable shoes, but they're not made out of leather. And we're going to see soon, it's a bit of a controversy, but he doesn't go into that discussion over the Mishnah Berurah at all, but he says that it's definitely not made out of leather, it's really, really comfortable shoes. And the Mahashag was asked, is that a problem to wear on Yom Kippur, yes or no? That's the Mahashag. What do you think? Okay, okay. It depends on what. So I'll tell you what the Maharshak says. We're going to see soon. We're almost going to see in a few minutes in Yetzir Hashem. There is a bit of a discussion that the Mishnah Berurah goes into. He doesn't go into that discussion at all. According to him, he holds that only if it's made out of leather, it's a problem. Only if it's made out of leather, it's a problem. We're going to see soon that it's not so posh at that point. But he paskins that only if it's made out of leather, it's a problem. So he said, well, if it's not made out of leather, says the Maharshak, then there is no problem. And he says as follows. He says, listen, really, in reality, Yom Kippur is really out of the Yom Tovim. We know... There is, on every Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah of Oinig Yom Tov. Every Yom Tov has got a mitzvah of enjoying the Yom Tov. It's true, Yom Kippur has got five Inuim. And those Inuim, you have to strictly follow and adhere to these five Inuim. You mustn't eat, you mustn't drink, you mustn't have leather shoes, you mustn't smear yourself, you must... Clearly, there is Inuim. But is there anything which is not included in those Inuim, the Inuim you have to keep, because that's what the Torah expects you to do. But anything which is not included in those Inuim... If it's against the spirit of Yom Tov, says the Maharshak, if it's against Oinig Yom Tov, you mustn't do it. Because you've got Oinig Yom Tov over here. You've got mitzvah of Oinig Yom Tov, says the Maharshak. He says, You're not allowed to. He says, you're not allowed. If those shoes are comfortable, you're not allowed to be machmir and stringent and say, I'm not going to wear those. It's against Oneg Yom Tov. He says, it's true. If it's including the five Inuim, you have to, Inui is Inui. You mustn't eat, you mustn't drink, you must Inuim. But if it's not including the Inui, first he starts saying that it's a stupidity. Why would you want to keep such a? But then he goes even further and he says, it's against Oneg Yom Tov. And you have to, why not? Nothing wrong with it. He said, it's as if you'd create, invent your own Inui. He said, imagine, I mean, I'm adding that point, but that's what he's saying. Imagine somebody would say, switch the air conditioning off. Inui. Make yourself uncomfortable. You know, that kind of thing. He said, switch the air conditioning off. Of course, it's a stupidity. Why is it stupidity? Because there's no such Inui. It doesn't say anywhere you have to sweat. It doesn't say anywhere you have to be. It doesn't say that. So you can't make up your own, you can't invent your own Inuim, says the Maharshag. And therefore, he's Matir. Again, I'm pointing it out that there is a discussion about this particular example that he brings. It's a little bit controversial. We're going to see that soon. But that concept that he says, I think is really interesting. And I'm mentioning it now because of Rabbi Gideon's point. That he said that deodorant, it's against the Inui, you know, you have to have Inui over here. So I'm pointing out over here, with regards to your point, the Maharshag will disagree with you. No, why not? Yeah, the Crocs Psak is not based on this. It's based on actually a Mishnah that we're going to see shortly. Correct. So that's what a point I said, that the concept of what Maharshag says is fascinating in his area. We can apply that in various halachas. The example that he happens to bring and discuss, the actual punkt, that scenario, that shaila, is actually a bit controversial. As we're going to see, and that's the croc, and that's the other comfortable shoes, happens to be a bit more of a controversial point. And we're going to see that in the Mishnah Berurah. But the idea that he brings, I think that's something that applies to other areas. Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, that's interesting. That probably. What do you think, Abu Sa'id? That's very interesting. That's I think you're adding a very important point. What happens if you would spritz it onto your hand and then put it on your body? It doesn't really. That's true. That's the way they used to do it generally. But you would be doing sikha even without it. Okay, so what would be if you would? Ask Abedin. What would be if you would? What would it mean if you put it on? I think, see, now this point that you're mentioning now makes me understand Rav Eliashiv's plaque much better.
What if you do the same thing with water?
Rav Eliashiv, sorry.
What happens if you do the same thing with water? What happens if you have a pitcher of water?
Yes, I suppose you may be touching onto the problem of rechitza then, potentially. But definitely not sicha, because sicha is you can't have sicha with water.
I'm saying, if the behechta is that you can do it with water, then it's not immediately out and out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Okay, I think that's probably the can you repeat it?
So if there be a hechtim where you can put water on your skin, and in a way that's mutter, then doing it with some kind of deodorant isn't necessarily definitely also, because you don't know what it's made out of.
If
it's not made out of oil, then you're
not doing sicha. It's not technically doing sicha. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. I hear the point, but let's move on and see. Base carrying on the Issa Ne'ilas sandal. Okay, that was with regards to Issa Sicha. Now we move on and see. Base Ne'ilas sandal, the Issa of wearing leather shoes. Also, Linoil sandal. A person is not allowed to wear a sandal, a type of shoe, or a minel, a different type of shoe, shall oil, if it's made out of leather. What's the difference between a sandal and a minel? What's the difference? Now in Hebrew, what's the difference between sandal and minal in modern Hebrew?
Open
and closed. See, but it's interesting because that's in Hebrew. Yeah. But Mishnah Berurah says a slightly different point. Mishnah Berurah says the difference is, if you look in Sifkot and Gimel, shel oir atravaye koi, it must both has to be made out of leather. But a sandal who shel oir kosher, a sandal, definition of a sandal is that it's hard leather, uminol, and a minol is shel oir rach. It's soft leather. So that is the difference in a minel and a sandal. Not so much according to the Hebrew connotation that it's closed or open, not so much that, but if it's soft or hard leather. So that's one of the next inui, the fourth inui is not wear leather shoes. Continues Shulchan Aruch. Even if a person, Rachman al-Islan, has got a part of his foot missing, Rachman al-Islan, and he's putting there a leather piece to as it were, to make his foot extension to his foot. That, if that's made out of leather, it's also it's considered a leather shoe. You're not allowed to do that. Va'afilu shel eitz u'mechupa oy. Even if it's made out of wood and it's covered with leather, also it's also. So now we're learning. Even if the shoe is made out of wood, like in Holland, I think, yeah, in Holland, is it Holland? Dutch? What is it? Yeah? And then you put around it leather, it's still going to be also. Avol, shall gem you, shall cash, if it's made out of any other material, hay or whatever it may be, or shall bag it out of shmatas, cloth, or shall sham, minimum, any other material. Muta, afidu, lots of bring Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to wear it. And additional chiddush is as well, that you're allowed to wear that in Rosh Hashanah as well. Now, this last point of Rosh Hashanah, what I was referring to is that normally you're not allowed to wear a weird type of shoe on Shabbos in a public domain, because we're concerned that it's not derech malbush, not normal way of wearing something. You'd be allowed to wear something because you're carrying some not normal, not irregular way of wearing something, irregular clothes you're allowed to wear on Shabbos because it's carrying. So, but over here it wouldn't be considered irregular. Guess why is it not considered irregular? Oh, exactly, because for Yom Kippur it's regular, as the Mishnah more expensive cotton chas. But that's the point of view. Now, so you're allowed to wear anything but leather. If there's leather in it, you're running into trouble. Let me just start with the Bialocha, Sif Cotton also in Dibur Maschel also. He just adds the obvious, but I want to point it out. So also Linoil, Val Kain Tzorich Lachloitz Mi Boidyoim. Now obviously, because there is a halacha, you're not allowed to wear leather shoes, so therefore there is a halacha as well, that you need to be, you need to take off those leather shoes before Yom Kippur, to service Yom Kippur. Remember we spoke about to service Yom Kippur? So obviously this applies also not only to eating and drinking, but also to wearing leather shoes. That's what the Bialocha points out over here. Now, what is this whole discussion of really comfortable non-leather shoes? Crocs or the real comfortable trainers? What's the halacha with regards to that? So based on the Shulchan Aruch that we learned now, is it permitted or not? So far, mutter. Mutter, really comfortable shoes. So far, if there's no leather, it's fine. Okay, now comes the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Neh. And this is the basis of this whole discussion. Says the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Neh. Aval shel gemi. The kol she'einu shel oir. Everything which is not made out of leather. Einu nikro minol elo malbush. If there's no leather, it's not considered a minol, it's not considered a shoe at all. It hasn't got the halachic term of minol. V'yesh me'achroinim. Now there is achroinim sheloi. Excuse me. Thank you. V'yesh me'achroinim shemachmirim b'shel eitz afilu einu mechupa oyer. There is achroinim who are stringent, and he said if it's made out of wood, even if there is no leather, it's also. V'chein yesh me'achmirim and some machmir sheloi lotzis b'minal also milvodim. If they are comfortable, they are softened, they're also, they're also kemina shadon, if they're made like our shoes, we'll mogate a la regale, protecting our foot. It's protecting the feet. And he doesn't even feel the pebbles as he's walking. He doesn't feel like his bare feet. It's not an inuy at all. It's not affliction at all when he wears those shoes. He's perfectly comfortable with those shoes. And that's also. According to that, who had then Colossians shall gumi yesh leachmir. All these really, the comfortable shoes, there's room for stringency according to those who show him. Vehine, av shen limchos piyad mekinim, although you don't have to make a fuss about the people who are lenient, acharei, sha shulchanoch v'roi v'achroini mekinim zeh, since the shulchanoch, the Mishnebu agrees, and the majority of the poskim are lenient, mikol mokim nevertheless, mi she'ef shaloi, somebody who can, nochoi leachmir bazeh, there is room for stringency. That's what he says. It is, maybe it's a bit more, maybe they said that it's proper to be stringent. So that's what he says. Okay. Now, so
basically straight against the Mahashag, right?
Completely. As far as that, yeah. The Mishneh Berurah brings over a Chumrah, which is a well-established Chumrah, but he himself calls it a Chumrah, that yes, comfortable shoes, and he's referring to any comfortable shoes, that you don't even feel any difference. That's the kind of shoes that you'd wear the whole year round anyway. According to the Mishneh Berurah, although there is no leather in it, there is room for stringency. Here's one for stringency. Is it also? No, clearly not. Is it a? It's just that he said there's a room for stringency. He admits that Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like that, and he admits that the majority of the Achronim don't paskin like that. But he feels, the Mishnah Berurah, the Halakha of Chofetz Chaim, feels it's worthwhile pointing this out that there is such a chumrah. According to that, I think that, what do you think about Crocs? See, I'm the wrong person to ask about Crocs because I find them extremely uncomfortable.
Really?
But I find them very uncomfortable. But if you feel, so for me, it's an Inuit to wear those, and there's no shout about it. I don't even wear them on Kippur, but somebody really feels, you know, you've got really comfortable trainers, you've got really comfortable shoes. According to Chofetz Chaim, there's room for stringency. It's not more than that. It's not also, yeah? Don't get me wrong. It's not also. There's room for stringency. So, yeah. Yes, again, so the Ma'ashak, I just want to, going back to the Ma'ashak, that you kindly, it's just that the Ma'ashak, again, the Ma'ashak disagrees with this Chumrah. He doesn't hold with this Chumrah at all, and therefore he discusses what he discusses. But the Mishnah Berurah, no doubt, probably, I believe, the Mishnah Berurah agrees to the concept of the Ma'ashak, although the actual example that he brings, he disagrees, as discussed now. But the idea of the Ma'ashak, I believe he agrees with. Yeah? And there's no proof, to matchet. Okay.
The Mishnah Berurah here, it'd be very few shoes you could buy today that probably wouldn't fall into this category.
I can tell you which ones definitely are okay. I don't know what they're called. But that's the soft ones that made out. I don't know what they're called.
Plimsolls.
Yeah, plimsolls, and the ones that are soft on the top and, you know, plastic and. Right. I mean, it's not. Is that really so? You'll find out these shoes that are not, that you don't find particularly comfortable.
He's talking about when you walk in the street, you don't feel pebbles. And
yeah. Yeah. It's true.
If you were barefoot, or just wore socks or something, you'd be totally.
Nowadays.
Yeah. That would be McClimbus.
Yeah. Yeah, in England, you have no, it's unheard of. I mean, in Israel, I remember plenty of people who, I mean, not plenty, but it was something you'd see occasionally. People on Yom Kippur who'd walk around with their socks. But over here it's undone, totally undone. But they're coming from here. True as well, definitely true. Over here you can't walk from home. It's true as well, definitely. I agree with you. You can't really make it. Yeah, it's definitely, you can't. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. It's true. It's not really practical over here. But what about the shine of Maris Ha'ayin? Because these shoes that look like leather, some shoes look like they're made out of leather, but they're not. What are those called?
I once went to Brighton to a vegetarian shoe shop back in the days when I was a vegetarian. The only shoe shop in the whole of the UK that sold Doc Martens made out of some kind of non-leather thing. And I asked the shiner on it at the time.
And?
Remember.
Was okay. Yeah. So, what do you think about non-leather shoes, but they look like genuine leather? You can even have a thing hanging authentic leather. what do you think about that? Is that okay or not okay? Not okay, Maris Ha'ayin. It looks like leather. What do you think?
It's quite common to buy shoes.
Very good. So that's exactly the machlokes of Shlomo Zalman Rabbi Yashiv. Exactly this. Some say so. Shlomo Zalman Rabbi Yashiv says it's Maris Ha'ayin. It's Maris Ha'ayin. You can't do something which appears to the general onlooker like you're doing something wrong. Maris Ha'ayin. It looks like it's leather. Don't wear it on your kippah. But the Shlomo Zalman disagreed with that. And he said exactly what you said. He said, it's so common now. There's no Maris Ha'ayin anymore. Like margarine. Margarine initially would have been a shayla of, if you have margarine with meat. Initially, there was a shayla or the tival. Tival. Some tival looks really like meat. Which ones? Which tival looks exactly like? The schnitz, the burgers? No. It looks for Amaratzim like me, maybe. Some look a bit more like me. So the things that look like, if you'd have that with something milky, or vice versa, margarine with something meaty. So initially there was a shine about that, because it looks like Maris Ha'ayin, you're doing nothing wrong, but it looks like you're doing something wrong. So it was a shayla of Maris Ha'ayin, but then very quickly the poskim came up that it's so common already, margarine is so common, no Maris Ha'ayin involved anymore. Similarly, the tival, it's not in the power of it's not Maris Ha'ayin anymore, and therefore it's okay.